Many blessings to you all and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is Matthew 26, 36 to 40. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36 to 40. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for an hour?" he asked Peter. My theme for reflection is nevertheless, not my will. Nevertheless, not my will. It has been said that life is what happens when you are busy making other plans. But if that is true, then prayer is what happens when we learn to lay our plans down. In a world addicted to control, efficiency, and instant results, prayer feels at first glance like poor time management. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus shows us something different. He does not show us how to get out of suffering. He shows us how to meet God in it. As we enter this dark and sacred moment in Matthew 26, 36 to 40, the weight of the story settles on us. The air is thick with tension. The hour has come. Jesus and his disciples have left the upper room, crossed the Kidron Valley, and entered Gethsemane. And there, in the olive press, the Son of God begins to be crushed. "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death," he tells his friends. And with those words, the weight of the world begins to press into him, not symbolically, but spiritually, emotionally, and physically. This is the beginning of the cross before the nails are ever driven. Notice first how Jesus does not withdraw into stoic silence. He shares his sorrow. He takes his closest friends with him. He invites them into the struggle. And then he does what only the true strong do, the truly strong do. He falls on his face in prayer. "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." The cup here is not mere suffering. It is the cup of divine wrath, the judgment rightly due for human sin. And Jesus is staring into it. Karl Barth once wrote, "To clasp the hands in prayer is the beginning of an uprising against the disorder of the world." But here, we see something even more astonishing. The world's redemption begins not with a sword unsheathed, but with a Savior surrendered in prayer. This surrender is not passive. It is not resignation. It is battle, persistent, agonized, repeated prayer. Three times Jesus pleads with the Father. The repetition is not for God's benefit, but ours. Real surrender does not always come in a single sentence. It must be wrestled through in waves. Here Jesus gives us a model not of how to avoid the will of God, but how to accept it fully. "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." This is the language of trust, not defeat. It is faith with tears. It is hope in agony. And while Jesus prays, the disciples sleep. Their eyes are heavy Their spirits may be willing, but their flesh is weak. It is a haunting image. The Son of God crushed in prayer and his closest followers collapsing in fatigue. There is no condemnation in Jesus' tone, only sadness and perhaps a note of loneliness. "Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" he asks Peter. His invitation to watch and pray was not a command to do more, but to be with him, to stay awake to the spiritual battle unfolding in that quiet garden. Jesus Christ in his agony does not rebuke our weakness. He bears it. As the writer of Hebrews says, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears, and he was heard because of his reverence. Hebrews 5 verse 7. He has walked our path. He has felt the temptation to run, the pressure to give in. But he stayed. He prayed. He surrendered. This moment matters because it reveals not only the suffering of Jesus, but the glory of his obedience. He did not drink the cup because it was easy, but because it was the Father's will and for the joy set before him. That joy includes you and me, reconciled and forgiven. So as we consider this garden scene, we are invited to two things: to marvel and to mimic. To marvel that our Savior loved us enough to sweat blood on our behalf, and to mimic his prayer, not out of guilt, but out of longing to be like him. We cannot bear what he bore, but we can watch and pray. We can stay awake. We can say, "Your will be done." Augustine of Hippo once said, "Do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger people." Gethsemane teaches us that strength is not self-sufficiency. It is surrender. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, where in your life are you resting, resisting the will of God rather than praying, "Not my will, but yours be done"? Number two, what would it look like to persist in prayer this week, even when your flesh is tired and answers feel far off? And now our practical exercise for the day. Set aside 5 minutes today to pray with Jesus' Gethsemane prayer as your guide. Begin with honesty. Name your fears and sorrows. Then ask for God's will to be done in your life. End with silent surrender, resting in the Father's love. Father, in the garden your Son knelt where we so often fall. He stayed awake while we slept. He surrendered while we resisted. Thank you for his obedience that purchased our redemption. Teach us by your Spirit to follow him in prayer, not to get what we want, but to become more like him. Give us hearts that trust your will and eyes that stay awake to your presence. In the name of the one who drank the cup for us, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.